Most people don't know how many financial accounts they have or their net worth. And when you're not paying attention, you're leaving money on the table. The solution is Monarch, an all-in-one personal finance tool that brings your entire financial life together in one clean interface on your laptop or phone. In just minutes, link all your accounts for a complete picture of your financial health. You'll never need a spreadsheet again. Get 50% off your first year. That's just $50 total at monarch.com with code BUDGET. That's monarch.com, promo code BUDGET.
All right, y'all. Peace and blessings. God bless y'all. I'm Jarvis Kingston, and I hope y'all doing all right, staying strong and solid in these times that we're in. I pray that you have repented and that you were baptized. I pray that you are safe, protected, and prayed up. And I just hope that whatever situation that you're going through, that the Lord is with you, that he guides you and protects you. He looks out for you. He comforts you. I pray that you become more strong and wise in the Lord. I pray that the Lord fixes and helps your mental health. I pray that your situation clears up. And I just hope that you had a blessed day today. If you didn't have one of the best days, I pray better days coming for you. All right, I pray that whatever the Lord has in store for you, that you will get it abundantly. Amen. And urgently. All right. There's so much things we've been praying for and so much things that we requested from God and petitions and thanksgiving and prayers and supplications. There's just so much going on in our lives and others' lives that we really need the Lord. We need the Lord's healing, his deliverance, his power, his love, his spirit, his fire, his light, his truth, his radiation, his revelation. We need everything from the Lord. Amen. We really need his presence, you know, because there's too much things to describe going on in our lives, amen, that people can't bear or hear, but the Lord hears us. The Lord hears our cries. He hears our hearts, amen. He sees our secret things. He sees our secret desires, all right? So we have to really put it in the Lord's hands and trust in him with our situation, amen. And we can't lean on our own understanding, people, all right? Greetings, greetings, people. Shalom, family. Everybody, welcome. Thank you all for listening. All tribes, all nations, all peoples, all languages, all four corners of the earth, all races, all faces. God bless you all. Yes, yes, yes. If you are an Israelite or a Gentile, it's all love and prayers sending your way. Amen. Let us love the Lord our God with all of our mind, heart, and soul. Let us love our neighbor as we love ourselves. All right. Let us even love our enemies and pray for them. Amen. Amen. All right. Let us obey the Lord's law, statutes, and commandments. Let us obey the gospel. All right, y'all, let us really walk in it and be doers of the word and examples of Christ. All right, we are in the last days, we are in end times, but we still have to stay upright and strong for the Lord. We have to be firm. We got to be rock solid for the Lord. The Lord is our rock, so we have to be solid for the Lord. Amen. So there's so much things to get done. Let's put our hands to the plow. Let's spread the word of God. Let's spread his truth. Let's shed his light. All right, let's just help as much people as we can with what we have. All right, keep going from there. All right, amen. So welcome, people. All right. So in today's message, we're going to go from the book of 1 Samuel chapter 8 and continue reading. All right. So we continue this Bible series. All right. So we left off 1 Samuel chapter 7 yesterday, last night. So now we're going to continue from chapter 8 and forward. And then we'll go through with the prayer, giving God thanks and glory. And then we'll also go with the priestly blessing. All right. So let us hang in there and stay strong. Amen. I know there's so much going on in the world, so much going on in your personal life or someone else's life, you know, but you got to hang in there, be firm for the Lord. All right. We got to do Father's business, do Father's will for the rest of our lives from now on. All right. Yes, yes. Amen. So let's continue this Bible reading and then go from there. All right. Amen. So hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's go. Book of 1 Samuel chapter 8. Here we go. And it came to pass, when Samuel was old, that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now the name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second, Abla. They were judges in Beersheba, and his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after Lucrey, and took bribes and perverted judgment. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel unto Ramah. Ramah said to him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, Give us a king to judge. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, Hearken unto the voice of the people and all that they said unto thee. For they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. According to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even unto this day wherewith they have forsaken me, and served other gods, so do they also to thee. Now therefore hearken unto their voice, howbeit yet protest solemnly unto them, and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them. And Samuel told all the words of the Lord unto the people that asked of him a king. And he said, this will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for himself, for his chariots, and to be his horsemen. And some shall run before his chariots. And he will appoint him captains over thousands and captains over fifties, and will set them to ear his ground and to reap his harvest, and to make his instruments of war and instruments of his chariots. And he will take your daughters to be confectionaries, and to be cooks, and to be bakers. And he will take your fields and your vineyards and your olive yards, even the best of them, and give them to his servants. And he will take the tenth of your seed and of your vineyards and give to his officers and to his servants. And he will take your men servants and your maid servants and your goodliest young men and your asses and put them to his work. He will take the tenth of your sheep, and ye shall be his servants. And ye shall cry in that day because of your king, which ye shall have chosen you. And the Lord will not hear you in that day. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel. And they said, nay, but we will have a king over us, that we also may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. And Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he rehearsed them in the ears of the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, hearken unto their voice and make them a king. And Samuel said unto the men of Israel, go ye every man into his city. So that's the book of 1 Samuel chapter 8 reading. All right, so what happens is Israel becomes rebellious and narrow-minded. And instead of having God, you know, rule over them and being led by God and wanting to put God first, what Israel did was they wanted a king. They wanted man. They wanted an authoritative figure and a manly-like figure. They wanted a king to rule over them and judge them instead. Because of Samuel's two sons, went astray. Two of his sons didn't follow Samuel's footsteps. So that kind of caused some confusion when it comes to leadership or examples being set. So they're like, you know, forget this and that and forget all that. Let's have a king to appoint us. We'll appoint two. And Samuel got mad at it because Samuel's anger was like, y'all should be wanting God, not a man. You know what I mean? You shouldn't be wanting to listen to a man's voice. You're supposed to listen to God's voice, you know? That's where Samuel was coming from. So Samuel went to the Lord about it. And then the Lord just told him, hey, just make them a king anyway, you know? Because the Lord wasn't mature about it. And the Lord was saying to himself, saying to Samuel, like, well, hey, these people, I got them out of Egypt, and look how they still acting. So, you know, give them what they want, basically. So Samuel and the Lord had that back and forth or what have you. And they just went from there, all right? So the example out of chapter 8, 1 Samuel, is like, let God be over your life and not no man, all right? No man, no woman, no child, no beast, nothing. Don't let no thing or person rule over you. Only let the Heavenly Father rule over you, amen? Because, you know, he has all the answers. He is the one who created everything. So he's the one who is the source and the provider, amen? So that was the book of 1 Samuel chapter 8 reading. Now we're going to go to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 9 reading, all right? 1 Samuel chapter 9, here we go. Now there was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, the son of Zeror, the son of Bechorath, the son of Aphiah, a Benjamite, a mighty man of power. And he had a son whose name was Saul, a choice young man and a goodly. And there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. From his shoulders and upward, he was higher than any of the people. And the asses of Kish, Saul's father, were lost. And Kish said, Saul his son, take now one of the servants with thee, and arise, go seek the asses. And he passed through the Mount Ephraim, and passed through the land of Shalisha. But they found them not. Then they passed through the land of Shalim, and there they were not. And he passed through the land of the Benjamites, but they found them not. And when they were come to the land of Zoph, Saul said to his servant that was with him, come and let us return, lest my father leave caring for the asses and take thought for us. And he said unto him, behold, now there is in this city a man of God, and he is an honorable man. All that he saith surely come to pass. Now let's go thither. Peradventure he could show us our way that we should go. Then said Saul to his servant, but behold, if we go, what shall we bring the man? For the bread is spent in our vessels, and there is not a present to bring to the man of God. What have we? And the servant answered Saul again and said, behold, I have here at hand the fourth part of a shekel of silver that will I give to the man of God to tell us our way. Before time in Israel, when a man went out to inquire of God, thus he spoke, come and let us go to the seer. For he that is now called a prophet was before time called a seer. Then said Saul to his servant, well said, come, let us go. So they went into the city where the man of God was. And as they went up to the hill of the city, they found young maidens going out to draw water, and said unto them, is the seer here? And they answered him and said, he is. Behold, he is before you. Make haste now, for he came day to day. He came today to the city, for there is a sacrifice of the people today in the high place. As soon as ye become into the city, ye shall straightway find him, before he go up to the high place to eat, for the people will not eat until he come, because he does bless the sacrifice, and afterwards they eat that be bidden. Now therefore get you up, for about this time ye shall find him. And they went up into the city, and they were coming into the city. Behold, Samuel came out against them for to go up to the high place. Now the Lord had told Samuel in his ear a day before Saul came, saying, tomorrow about this time I will send thee a man out of the land of Benjamin, and thou shalt anoint him to be captain over my people Israel, that he may save my people out of the hand of the Philistines. For I have looked upon my people, because their cry is coming to me. And when Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said unto him, behold, the man whom I speak to thee of, the same shall reign over my people. Then Saul drew near to Samuel in the gate and said, tell me, I pray thee, where the seer's house is. And Samuel answered Saul and said, I am the seer. Go up before me into the high place, for ye shall eat with me today, and tomorrow I'll let thee go, and will tell thee all that is in thine heart. And as for thine asses that were lost 3 days ago, set not thy mind on them, for they are found, and on whom is all the desire of Israel? Is it not on thee, on all thy father's house? And Saul answered and said, am I not a Benjamite, of the smallest of the tribes of Israel? And my family the least of the families of the tribe of Benjamin? Wherefore then speakest thou so to me? And Samuel took Saul and his servant and brought them into the parlor and made them sit in the chiefest place among them that were bidden, which were about 30 persons. And Samuel said unto the cook, bring the portion which I give thee, of which I said unto thee, set it by thee. And the cook took up the shoulder and that which was upon it, and set it before Saul. And Samuel said, behold, that which is left, set it before thee, and eat, for until this time hath it been kept for thee, since I said, I have invited the people. So Saul did eat with Samuel that day. And when they were come down from the high place into the city, Samuel communed with Saul upon the top of the house. And they arose early, and it came to pass about the spring of the day that Samuel called Saul to the top of the house, saying, up, that I may send thee away. And Saul arose, and they went out, both of them, and he and Samuel abroad. And as they were going down to the end of the city, Samuel said to Saul, bid the servant pass on before us. And he passed on, but stand thou still a while, that I may show thee the word of God. So this is the book of 1 Samuel chapter 9 reading. So in this part, Saul and his assistant and his servant were looking for their lost sheep. So this is kind of a funny, interesting story of how they met overall with Saul. But Saul is looking for lost sheep. And it's kind of interesting how Jesus made that parable about if one sheep goes missing, you know, what have you. So you kind of see that being displayed right here in 1 Samuel chapter 9. So Saul is looking for one of his lost sheep among the land. So they went to one place, they couldn't find it. They go to another place, they find it. But as soon as they come around the area of Israel, that's when they get it, you know. So that's kind of funny and interesting. And also, God is speaking to Samuel and saying, hey, a man who is going to reign over Israel, I'm bringing him your way. So he's actually, Saul is a Benjamite. He's from the tribe of Benjamin. So it says that in chapter 9. So Samuel and Saul link up, they meet up. They chop it up, they eat, they go up to the high place, they make their sacrifices, they do their thing. And then Samuel tells Saul everything, and then they go on their ways, all right? So that is now the introduction of Saul, all right? So before people were called prophets, they were called seers, S-E-E-R, seers, you know? So that's that for chapter 9. Now we're going to go to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 10, all right? 1 Samuel chapter 10, here we go. Then Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head and kissed him and said, Is it not because the Lord hath anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance? When thou art departed from me today, then thou shalt find two men by Rachel's sepulchre in the border of Benjamin at Zilzah, and they will say unto thee, the asses which thou wentest to seek are found. And lo, thy father hath left the care of the asses and sorroweth for you, saying, what shall I do for my son? Then shalt thou go on forward from thence, and thou shalt come to the plain of Tabor. And there shall meet the three men going up to God to Bethel, one carrying three kids, and another carrying three loaves of bread, and another carrying a bottle of wine. And they will salute thee and give thee two loaves of bread, which thou shalt receive of their hands. After that, thou shalt come to the hill of God, where is the garrison of the Philistines. And it shall come to pass, when thou art come thither to the city, that thou shalt meet a company of prophets coming down from the high place with the psaltery and a tabret and a pipe and a harp before them, and they shall prophesy. And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and shalt be turned into another man. And let it be, when these signs are come unto thee, that thou do as occasion serve thee, for God is with thee. And thou shalt go down before me to Gilgal, and behold, I will come down unto thee to offer burnt offerings and to sacrifices of peace offerings. 7 days shalt thou tarry till I come to thee and show thee what thou shalt do. And it was so that when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, God gave him another heart, and all those signs came to pass that day. And when they came thither to the hill, behold, a company of prophets met him, and the Spirit of God came upon him and prophesied among them. And it came to pass when all that knew him before time saw that, behold, he prophesied among the prophets. Then the people said one to another, what is this that is coming to the son of Kish? Is Saul among the prophets? And one of the same place answered and said, but who is their father? Therefore it became a proverb, is Saul among the prophets? And when he had made an end of prophesying, he came to the high place. And Saul's uncle said unto him and to his servant, whither went ye? And he said, to seek the asses. And when we saw, hold on, my bad, y'all, let me reread all of that, hold on. And one of the same place answered and said, but who is their father? Therefore it became a proverb, is Saul also among the prophets? And when he had made an end of prophesying, he came to the high place. And Saul's uncle said unto him and to his servant, whither went ye? And he said, to seek the asses. And when we saw that they were nowhere, we came to Samuel. And Saul's uncle said, tell me, I pray thee, what Samuel said unto you. And Saul said unto his uncle, he told us plainly that the asses were found, but of the matter of the kingdom, whereof Samuel spoke, he told him not. And Samuel called the people together unto the Lord to Mizpah, and said unto the children of Israel, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought up Israel out of Egypt, and delivered you out of the land of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all kingdoms, and of them that oppressed you. And ye have this day rejected your God, who himself saved you out of all your adversities and your tribulations. And ye have said unto him, nay, but set a king over us. Now therefore present yourselves before the Lord by your tribes and by your thousands. And when Samuel had caused all the tribes of Israel to come near, the tribe of Benjamin was taken. When he had caused the tribe of Benjamin to come near by their families, the family of Matri was taken, and Saul the son of Kish was taken. And when they sought him, he could not be found. Therefore they inquired of the Lord further, if the man should yet come thither. And the Lord answered, behold, he hath hid himself among the stuff. And they ran and fetched him thence. And when he stood among the people, he was higher than any of the people from his shoulders and upward. And Samuel said to all the people, see ye him whom the Lord hath chosen, that there is none like him among all the people. And all the people shouted and said, God save the king. Then Samuel told the people the manner of the kingdom, and wrote it in a book, and laid it up before the Lord. And Samuel sent all the people away, every man to his house. And Saul also went home to Gibeah, and there went with him a band of men, whose hearts God had touched. But the children of Belial said, how shall this man save us? And they despised him, and brought him no presents, but he held his peace. So that's the book of 1 Samuel chapter 10. So this is the process of Saul becoming the king over people and prophesizing and what have you. and being among Israel and things of that nature. As Samuel is introducing Saul to the people and showing him who God presented and who has God chosen, had God chosen over them. But God was still a bit, you know, angry about how they wanted a king over them instead of him. You know what I mean? Because God is a jealous God, and God wants all the glory, all the power, all the credit. But when people give that over to man, that causes more complications and issues. You know what I'm saying? But the thing about giving your power to people, people will always fail you. All right. Everybody's flawed. Every person, whether a person has a high status or no status or low status, doesn't matter. Man, woman, child, if anybody could disappoint anybody at any given moment. It takes one situation to, you know, disappoint a lot of people, what have you. So that's why you don't put all your stock, all your faith in man. We're supposed to put our faith in the Lord. All right. Our trust in the Lord. All right. But Israel didn't do that. Israel were self-willed people, very rebellious, stiff-necked, hard-headed, idol worshipers. You get what I'm saying? So, but that's just how everything kind of played out. But this is Samuel presents us all to Israel. All right. And also Samuel saying what the Lord told him to tell everybody. Okay. So that was basically like a prophet, a seer, a messenger. They were basically like messengers, prophets, and they were there to just deliver what the Lord told them. All right. So now that was chapter 10 reading. Now we're going to go to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 11. All right. 1 Samuel chapter 11. Here we go. Then Nahash the Ammonite came up and encamped against Jabesh Gilead. And all the men of Jabesh said unto Nahash, make a covenant with us, and we will serve thee. And Nahash the Ammonite answered them, on this condition will I make a covenant with you, that I may thrust out all your right eyes, and lay it for a reproach upon all Israel. And the elders of Jabesh said unto him, give us 7 days respite, that we may send messages to all the coasts of Israel. And then if there be no man to save us, we will come out to thee. Then came the messengers of Gibeah of Saul, and told the tidings in the ears of the people. And all the people lifted up their voices and wept. And behold, Saul came after the herd out of the field. And Saul said, What aileth the people that they weep? And they told him the tidings of the men of Jabesh. And the Spirit of God came upon Saul when he heard those tidings, and his anger was kindled greatly. And he took a yoke of oxen and hewed them in pieces and sent them throughout all the coast of Israel by the hands of messengers, saying, whosoever cometh not forth after Saul and after Samuel, so shall it be done unto his oxen. And the fear of the Lord fell on the people, and they came out with one consent. And when he numbered them in Bezek, the children of Israel were 300,000, and the men of Judah 30,000. And they said unto the messengers that time, thus shall ye say unto the men of Jabesh Gilead, tomorrow by that time the sun be hot, ye shall have help. And the messengers came and showed it to them, showed it to the men of Jabesh, and they were glad. Therefore the men of Jabesh said, tomorrow we will come out unto you, and ye shall do with us all that seemeth good unto you. And it was so on the morrow that Saul put the people in three companies, and they came into the midst of the host in the morning watch and slew the Ammonites until the heat of the day. And it came to pass that they which remained, and that they which remained were scattered, so that two of them were not left together. And the people said unto Samuel, who is he that shall Saul reign over us? Bring the men that we may put them to death. And Saul said, there shall not a man be put to death this day, for today the Lord hath wrought salvation in Israel. Then says Samuel to the people, come and let us go to Gilgal and renew the kingdom there. And all the people went to Gilgal, and there they made Saul king before the Lord in Gilgal. And there they sacrificed sacrifices of peace offerings before the Lord. And there Saul and all the men of Israel rejoiced greatly. All right, so that's the book of 1 Samuel chapter 11. This is where Saul and all Israel slayed the Ammonites and things of that nature. And then they all rejoiced and celebrated and gathered together afterwards. All right, so now we're going to go into the book of 1 Samuel chapter 12. All right, now we're going to chapter 12. All right, so here we go. And Samuel said unto all Israel, behold, I have hearkened unto your voice and all that ye said unto me, and have made a king over you. And now behold, the king walketh before you, and I am old and gray-headed, and behold, my sons are with you, and I have walked before you from my childhood until this day. Behold, here I am, witness against me before the Lord and before his anointed. Whose ox have I taken, or whose ass have I taken, or of whom I have defrauded, whom I have oppressed, or of whose hand have I received any bribe to blind mine eyes, my eyes? Therewith, and I will restore it you. And they said, thou hast not defrauded us, nor oppressed us, neither hast thou taken out of any man's hand. And he said unto them, the Lord is witness against you, and his anointed is witness this day, that ye have not found out in my hand. And they answered, he is witness. And Samuel said unto the people, it is the Lord that advanced Moses and Aaron, and that brought your fathers up out of the land of Egypt. Now therefore stand still, that I may reason with you before the Lord of all the righteous acts of the Lord, which he did to you and to your fathers. When Jacob was come into Egypt, and your fathers cried unto the Lord, then the Lord sent Moses and Aaron, which brought forth your fathers out of Egypt, and made them dwell in this place. And when they forgot the Lord their God, he sold them into the hand of Sisera, captain of the host of Hazor, and into the hand of the Philistines, and into the hand of the king of Moab, and they fought against them. And they cried unto the Lord, and said, we have sinned because we have forsaken the Lord, and have served Balaam and Ashtaroth. But now deliver us out of the hand of our enemies, and we will serve thee. And the Lord sent Jerubbaal, and Bedan, and Jephthah, and Samuel, and delivered you out of the hand of your enemies on every side, and ye dwelt safe. And when ye saw that Nahash, the king of the children of Ammon, came against you, ye said to me, nay, but a king shall reign over us, when the Lord your God was your king. Now therefore, behold, the king whom you have chosen, and whom ye have desired, and behold, the Lord hath set a king over you. If ye will fear the Lord, and serve him, and obey his voice, and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall both ye and also the king that reigneth over you continue following the Lord your God. But if ye will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall the hand of the Lord be against you as it was against your fathers. Now therefore stand and see this great thing, which the Lord will do before your eyes. Is it not wheat harvested today? I will call it to the Lord, and he shall send thunder and rain, that ye may perceive and see that your wickedness is great, which ye have done in the sight of the Lord, in asking you a king. So Samuel called unto the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day, and all the people greatly feared the Lord of Samuel. And all the people said to Samuel, pray for thy servants unto the Lord thy God, that we die not, for we have added to our sins this the evil, to ask us a king. And Samuel said unto the people, fear not, ye have done all this wickedness, yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart, and turn ye not aside, for then should ye go after vain things, which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he hath done for you. But if ye shall still do wickedly, ye shall be consumed, both ye and your king. All right, so that's the book of 1 Samuel chapter 12. All right, so there you can see that is Samuel really talking to Israel heart to heart and telling them what God is telling Samuel and showing him too. God sent rain and thunder on Israel, and it put fear of them because God's anger was kindled that they asked for a king instead of him, you know, and God was reminding them of how he looked out for Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and how he looked out for Moses and Aaron, how he looked out for all Israel, and y'all still want a king over all. You see what I'm saying? So God had to put that fear of the Lord in Israel to make them, you know, humble themselves. You get what I'm saying? So that's the book of 1 Samuel chapter 12. Now we're going to go to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 13, all right? Now we're going to chapter 13. Here we go. Saul reigned 1 year, and when he had reigned 2 years over Israel, Saul chose him 3,000 men of Israel, whereof 2,000 were with Saul in Michmash, and in Mount Bethel, and 1,000 were with Jonathan in Gibeah of Benjamin, and the rest of the people he sent every man to his tent. And Jonathan smote the garrison of the Philistines that was in Geba, And the Philistines heard of it, and Saul blew the trumpet throughout all the land, saying, "Let the Hebrews hear." And all Israel heard say that Saul had smitten the garrison of the Philistines, and that Israel also was had an abomination with the Philistines, and the people were called together after Saul to Gilgal. And the Philistines gathered themselves together to fight with Israel, 30,000 chariots, 6,000 horsemen, and people as the sand, which is on the seashore in multitude. And they came up and pitched in Michmash eastward from Beth-Aven. When the men of Israel saw that they were in a strait, for the people were distressed, then the people did hide themselves in caves and the thickets and the rocks and in high places and the pits. And some of the Hebrews went over Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. As for Saul, he was yet in Gilgal, and all the people followed him trembling. And he tarried 7 days according to the said time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. And Saul said, "Bring hither a burnt offering to me and peace offerings." And he offered the burnt offering. And it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of offering of the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him, that he might salute him. And Samuel said, "What hast thou done?" And Saul said, "Because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash. Therefore said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made this supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself therefore and offered a burnt offering." And Samuel said to Saul, "Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee." And Samuel rose and got him up from Gilgal unto Gibeah of Benjamin. And Saul numbered the people that were present with him, about 600 men. And Saul and Jonathan his son, and the people that were present with them abode in Gibeah of Benjamin. But the Philistines encamped in Michmash, and the spoilers came out of the camp of the Philistines in three companies. One company turned into the way that leadeth to Ophrah, unto the land of Sheol. And another company turned the way of to Beth Haran. On another company turned to the way of the border that looketh to the valley of Zobim, toward the wilderness. Now there was no smith found throughout all the land of Israel. For the Philistines said, "Lest the Hebrews make them swords or spears." But all the Israelites went down to the Philistines to sharpen every man his share, and his coulter, and his axe, and his mattock. Yet they had a file for the mattocks, and for the coulters, and for the forks, and for the axes, and to sharpen the goads. So it came to pass in the day of battle that there was neither sword nor spear found in the hand of any of the people that were with Saul and Jonathan, but with Saul and with Jonathan his son was there found. And the garrison of the Philistines went out to the passage of Michmash. All right, so that's the book of 1 Samuel chapter 13. So in this part, we get to see Jonathan. Jonathan was Saul's son, and Jonathan slayed a garrison for the Philistines. So the Philistines gathered together and camped close to Israel in Michmash around the land, and went at war, went to fight, and what have you. Now, what happened with Saul? Saul didn't have proper leadership. Saul didn't hearken to the Lord's commandment. Saul didn't keep God first. Neither did he keep the people together. So what happened was the people were trembling and in fear. They were all scattered all over. And Saul didn't have proper leadership. Neither did he follow the Lord. So Samuel comes up to Saul and says, "Hey, this kingdom's going down the drain, and God found somebody else." So Saul has to break the news down to him. All right, because Saul went out and did offerings and had the people scattered and, you know, confused and misled and fearful. And Saul wasn't a good example of following the Lord's commandment. So Samuel had to break it down to him. So now it keeps going on a detail about Saul and Jonathan. All right. So that was the book of 1 Samuel chapter 13. Now we're going to go to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 14. All right. Now we're in chapter 14. Here we go. Now it came to pass upon a day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said unto the young man that bare his armor, come and let us go over to the Philistines' garrison that is on the other side. But he told not his father. And Saul tarried in the uttermost part of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree, which is in Migron. And the people that were with him were about 600 men. And Ahiah, the son of Ahitub, Shabbat's brother, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eli, the Lord's priest in Shiloh, wearing an ephod, and the people knew not that Jonathan was gone. And between the passages by which Jonathan sought to go over to the Philistines' garrison, there was a sharp rock on the one side and a sharp rock on the other side. And the name of one was Bozez, and the name of the other, Sene. The forefront of the one was situate northward over against Michmash, and the other southward over against Gibeah. And Jonathan said to the young men that bear his armor, come and let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. And his armor bearer said to him, do all that is in thy heart. Turn thee, behold, I am with thee according to thy heart. Then said Jonathan, behold, we will pass over to these men, and we will discover ourselves unto them. If they say thus unto us, tarry until we come to you, then we will stand still in our place, and will not go up unto them. But if they say thus, come up unto us, then we will go up, for the Lord hath delivered them into our hand. And this shall be a sign unto us. And both of them discovered themselves unto the garrison of the Philistines. And the Philistines said, behold, the Hebrews come forth out of the holes where they had hid themselves. And the men of the garrison answered Jonathan, his armor bearer, and said, come up to us, and we will show you a thing. And Jonathan said to his armor bearer, come up after me, for the Lord hath delivered them into the hand of Israel. And Jonathan climbed up upon his hands and upon his feet, and his armor bearer after him. And they fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer slew after him. And that first slaughter which Jonathan and his armor bearer made was about 20 men. Within, as it were, and half bearer made was about, hold on, my bad, y'all. And that first slaughter which Jonathan and his armor bearer made was about 20 men, within as it were an half acre of land, which a yoke of oxen might plow. And there was trembling in the host, in the field, and among all the people. The garrison and the spoilers, they also trembled, and the earth quaked. So it was a very great trembling. And the watchmen of Saul and Gibeah of Benjamin looked, and behold, the multitude melted away, and they went on beating down one another. Then said Saul to the people that were with him, number now, and see who is gone from us. And when they had numbered, behold, Jonathan and his armor bearer were not there. And Saul said unto Ahiah, bring hither the ark of God, for the ark of God was at the time with the children of Israel. And it came to pass, while Saul talked unto the priest, that the noise that was in the host of the Philistines went on and increased. And Saul said unto the priest, withdraw thine hand. And Saul and all the people that were with him assembled themselves, and they came to the battle. And behold, every man's sword was against his fellow, and there was a very great discomfiture. Moreover, the Hebrews that were with the Philistines before that time, which went up with them into the camp from the country round about, even they also turned to be with the Israelites that were with Saul and Jonathan. Likewise, all the men of Israel, which had hid themselves in Mount Ephraim, when they heard that the Philistines fled, even they also followed hard after them in the battle. So the Lord saved Israel that day, and the battle passed over into Bethaven. And the men of Israel were distressed that day, for Saul had adjured the people, saying, cursed be the man that eateth any food until evening, that I may be avenged on mine enemies. So none of the people tasted any food. And all they of the land came to a wood, and there was honey upon the ground. And when the people were coming to the wood, behold, the honey dropped, but no man put his hand to his mouth, for the people feared the oath. But Jonathan heard not when his father charged the people with the oath. Wherefore he put forth the end of the rod that was in his hand, and dipped it in a honeycomb, and put his hand to his mouth, and his eyes were enlightened. Then answered one of the people, and said, thy father straitly charged the people with an oath, saying, cursed be the man that eateth any food this day. And the people were faint. Then Jonathan said, "My father hath troubled the land. See, I pray you, how my eyes have been enlightened, because I have tasted a little of this honey. How much more if happily the people had eaten freely to the day of the spoil of their enemies, which they found? For had there not been a much greater slaughter among the Philistines?" And they smote the Philistines that day from Michmash to Ajalon, and the people were very faint. And the people flew upon the spoil and took the sheep and oxen and calves and slew them on the ground, and the people did eat them with the blood. Then they told Saul, saying, "Behold, the people sin against the Lord, and that they eat with the blood." And he said, "Ye have transgressed. Roll a great stone unto me this day." And Saul said, "Disperse yourselves among the people, and say unto them, Bring me hither every man his ox, and every man his sheep, and slay them here, and eat, and sin not against the Lord in eating with the blood." And all the people brought every man his ox with him that night, and slew them there. And Saul built an altar unto the Lord. The same was the first altar that he built unto the Lord. And Saul said, "Let us go down after the Philistines by night, and spoil them until the morning light, and let us not leave a man of them." And they said, "Do whatsoever seemeth good unto thee." Then said the priest, "Let us draw near hither unto God." And Saul asked counsel of God, "Shall I go down after the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into thy hand, into the hand of Israel?" But he answered him not that day. And Saul said, "Draw ye near hither, all the chief of the people, and know and see wherein this sin hath been this day. For as the Lord liveth, which saveth Israel, though it be in Jonathan my son, he shall surely die." But there is not a man among all the people that answered him. Then said he unto all Israel, "Be ye on one side, and I and Jonathan my son will be on the other side." And the people said unto Saul, "Do what seemeth good unto thee." Therefore Saul said unto the Lord God of Israel, "Give a perfect lot," and Saul and Jonathan were taken. But the people escaped. And Saul said, "Cast lots between me and Jonathan my son," and Jonathan was taken. Then Saul said to Jonathan, "Tell me what thou hast done." And Jonathan told him and said, "I did but taste a little honey with the end of the rod that was in my hand, and lo, I must die." And Saul answered, "God do so and more also, for thou shalt surely die, Jonathan." And the people said unto Saul, "Shall Jonathan die, who hath wrought this great salvation in Israel? God forbid, as the Lord liveth, there shall not one hair of his head fall to the ground, for he hath wrought with God this day." So the people rescued Jonathan, that he died not. Then Saul went up from following the Philistines, and the Philistines went to their own place. So Saul took the kingdom over Israel. So Saul took the kingdom over Israel and fought against all his enemies on every side, against Moab and against the children of Ammon and against Edom and against the kings of Zobah and against the Philistines. And whithersoever he turned himself, he vexed them. And he gathered an host and smote the Amalekites and delivered Israel out of the hands of them that spoiled them. Now the sons of Saul were Jonathan and Ashui, and Milkashua. And the names of his two daughters were these: the name of the firstborn was Merab, and the name of the younger, Michal. And the name of Saul's wife was Ahinoam, the daughter of Ahimaaz. And the name of the captain of his host was Abner, the son of Ner, Saul's uncle. And Kish was the father of Saul. And Ner, the father of Abner, was the son of Abiel. And there was sore war against the Philistines all the days of Saul. And when Saul saw any strong man or any valiant man, he took him unto him. All right, so there you have it. That's the book of 1 Samuel chapter 14 reading, all right? So you're kind of seeing all this battle and war all against the Philistines. And Jonathan and his armor bearer really slayed a lot of men. And, you know, they won their battles. The Lord delivered the battle to Jonathan's hand. All right. So what happened was, as they're on their journey, Saul was basically saying, like, "Hey, anybody who eats this day going to be cursed and shall die." And Jonathan wasn't there to hear it. So Jonathan has some honey. He got hungry. And then when he ate, people fainted and were like, "Hey, you know, your dad said not to do this, and the other. Your father said not to do that." And Jonathan pleaded and said, "Well, hey, we just won a battle. How are we not going to eat some and rejoice?" You know what I mean? So there's a lot of split division between one person wanting to do something and another doing another thing. But that falls back on Saul not having proper leadership. So when you don't have proper leadership and you're dealing with people who all want to do their own thing, that causes more division and divide, right? But later on throughout chapter 14, Saul was casting lots between him and Jonathan. And then, you know, the people were like taking Jonathan's side. They're like, why would you want to kill your own son when this man just fought a battle for God and won us? You know, he won the battle for Israel. Why would you want to slay your own son? So, you know, the people came through on Jonathan's side and rescued him. So that's good. And Saul also slayed more people. He slayed more of the enemies. So Saul was a king, a warrior, and really fighting with Israel as well. Didn't have the best leadership, but he was still doing what he had to do. And he also, and then later in chapter 14, discusses his bloodline, his wife, his daughters, his sons as well. All right. So now we're going to go into the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 15. All right. Now we're going to chapter 15. Here we go. Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. And Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came into a city of Amalek and laid wait in the valley. And Saul said unto the Kenites, go depart, get you down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For ye showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou comest to Shur, that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatlings and the lambs and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refused that they destroyed utterly. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he is turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments, and it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. And when Samuel arose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel. And behold, he set him up a place, and is gone about, and passed on, and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul had said unto him, blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, what meaneth then this, the bleating of the sheep in my ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice it to the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Oh, let me just repeat that, y'all. And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice it to the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord hath said to me this night. And he said unto him, stay, say on. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thy own sight, was thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but did thou fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and I have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and I have brought the Agag, a king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice it to the Lord thy God in Gilgal. As Samuel said, hath the Lord as a great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Whew. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee for being king. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now, therefore, I pray thee, pardon my sin and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. And as Samuel turned about to go away, he laid hold upon the skirt of his mantle, and it rent. And Samuel said to him, the Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and hath given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou. And also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. Then he said, I have sinned, yet honor me now, I pray thee, before the elders of my people and before Israel, and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord thy God. So Samuel turned again after Saul, and Saul worshiped the Lord. And then said Samuel, bring ye hither to me Agag, the king of the Amalekites. And Agag came unto him delicately, and Agag said, surely the bitterness of death is past. As Samuel said, as the sword hath made women childless, so shall thy mother be childless among the women. And Samuel hewed Agag in pieces before the Lord in Gilgal. Then Samuel went to Ramah, and Saul went up to his house to Gibeah of Saul. And Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord repented that he had made Saul king over Israel. So that's the book of 1 Samuel chapter 15. That's a pretty heavy chapter right there, because there's so much that's going on all at once. So to summarize it, God is telling Samuel to tell Saul, when you go to the Amalekites, kill everything, everybody there, just get rid of all of it. What Saul did was, instead of killing the king of Agag, he spared him. And then the people of Israel, they took the best of the ox or sheep, and they kept it. They were supposed to kill it, and they kept it. And then tried to honor God with it, with like burnt sacrifices and peace offerings, whatever. And then that angered God, and it also angered and grieved Samuel. So now Samuel and God are having this conversation, like, hey, God is telling Samuel, hey, man, I regret making this man the king, because look what he's doing. He's not hearkening to my voice. And then Samuel is really pressing Saul over this. He's really letting him have it. And I just love the part of 1 Samuel chapter 15. You know, I love when it says that obedience is better than sacrifice, you know. Like, Samuel really went in on that, you know. So now this is the process of where God is taking Saul from being a king. He's taking that away from him because he disobeyed too much. He didn't have proper leadership, and he didn't set the right example. So now Samuel has to break it all down to him and find another king, all right? So that's chapter 15. And also Samuel ended up having to kill it, because since Saul didn't do it, Samuel did it, you know. So, you know, in that time period, prophets, priests, they were killers, you know. They were slayer warriors, you know. None of them were soft and all that. They were men of war. They were men of the Most High. Men of the Most High were warrior-like. You know, even if you were a priest or a prophet, even if you were the holiest of the holiest, you still got your hands dirty too, but all for the sake of the Lord. It wasn't like senseless killing like today, you know what I mean? Like, it was a purpose and meaning behind it. You know, God laid us to, you know, slay our enemies, you know what I mean? But times are a bit different now, so, you know, now we fast forward to today's society. The world is more violent than ever. So Jesus is telling us to be gentle as a dove and wise as a serpent. And if you live by the sword, you're going to die by it. So we have to go about things differently than how the ones before us did, because of the time and that we're in, you know what I mean? So, yeah, it's just interesting to see how things were back then and see how things are now, all right? So that's the 1 Samuel chapter 15. Now we're going to go to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 16, all right? Chapter 16, here we go. Okay, hold on. Before we go to chapter 16, I just want to read this, just those last kind of few verses of 1 Samuel chapter 15. I really, really, that one really hit. And then, you know, he said, as Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. There's a scripture in Proverbs that says that too, how obedience is better than sacrifice. And Samuel says it here. And then Samuel also says, for rebellion is as in the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he also hath rejected thee from being king. So Samuel really went in on Saul about that. So that was like, oof, like Samuel went in on that. So that's something we have to take, you know. We cannot be rebellious. We cannot be stiff-necked or stubborn, man. That's iniquity. That's idolatry. All right. No more sin of witchcraft. No more being rebellious. No more stubbornness. No more iniquity or idolatry. All right. Let's really be obedient listeners. Let's be better. All right. We got to get it right, people. I speak for myself as well and all of us. We got to hold each other accountable. We got to do better with our obeying and our listening. All right. So I just wanted to read that last part. So now we're going to go into the book of 1 Samuel chapter 16, all right? So here we go. And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go, and I will send thee to Jesse, the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. And Samuel said, how can I go if Saul hear it? He will kill me. And the Lord said, take an heifer with thee and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do. And thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I have named unto thee. And Samuel did that which the Lord spoke, and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, comest thou peacefully? Peacefully. Peacefully. And he said, peacefully, I come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointing is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Love that scripture so much. I want to read that one more time. I love that one so much. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Then Jesse made Shema to pass by. And he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. And again, Jesse made 7 of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord hath not chosen these. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance, and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. But the spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. And an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servant said unto him, behold, now an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. Let our Lord now command thy servants which are before thee to seek out a man who is a cunning player on a harp. And it shall come to pass, when the evil spirit from God is upon thee, that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well. And Saul said unto his servants, provide me now a man that can play well, and bring him to me. Then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing and a mighty valiant man and a man of war and prudent in matters and a comely person, and the Lord is with him. Wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse and said, send me David, thy son, which is with the heart with the sheep. And Jesse took an ass laden with bread and a bottle of wine and a kid and sent them by David, his son, to Saul. And David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. And Saul sent to Jesse, saying, let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he hath found favor in my sight. And it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took an harp and played with his hands. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. So that's the book of 1 Samuel chapter 16 reading. So that was chapter 16. So this is the part where God tells Samuel to go look for the king to anoint him and go to Bethlehem, go to Jesse and bring out all his sons to the sacrifice. And Samuel was a bit nervous because Samuel's like, well, hey, ain't Saul going to see this? You know, Saul going to be tripping. And then the Lord's like, hey, just say like we're going to do an offering, just do a sacrifice and keep it moving. Just still go there. So Samuel goes there. And he goes, gets Jesse out the land, and he gets Jesse and all his sons. And Samuel's first impression was, okay, maybe it's this one. But God told Samuel, no, it's not him. And then God told Samuel, like, hey, man looks at appearance, I look at the heart, and I refused and rejected him, so it's not him. And as Samuel went through all his sons, and God was like, no, not him, not him, not him. So then Samuel says, well, hey, that's all the sons you have. And he's like, I got another one, but he's a keeper of the sheep. He's a shepherd. He's the youngest. So, and then he went and got David. He fetched and got David. And then God said, this is the one. And then he anointed David and made him king and went from there. And then Saul, God sent an evil spirit upon Saul. So Saul was a bit restless. He couldn't sleep, dealing with all those different things. So in order for Saul to have some peace and the evil spirit to depart, a musician had to be in sight, a harp player had to be there. So David was a great musician, could play the harp very well. So David was in the midst of Saul, and now Saul and David are dealing with each other, all right? So that's the book of 1 Samuel chapter 16. Now we're about to go in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 17, all right? But I just love how when God said he looks at the heart of a person and not the appearance, you know? And I'm like, man, that scripture is just so powerful because we look at today, everybody's so external and vain and, you know, pride of life, the lust of the eyes, you know, all these different things. We always look at superficial things about each other, but God sees the heart. You know, that's the problem with us. We don't see the hearts of people. We just see just the outside stuff. And I just love how God told Samuel that. And that's something we have to apply to our lives. We serve a God who looks at the hearts, who searches the hearts. We don't serve a God who's about the outside. Even though we're made in his image and likeness and everything, God is not about vanity or vain things or superficial stuff. Everything with God is all about the inside, the core. You know what I mean? That heart is important, man, the heart. So the heart is everything, all right? So let's always remember that. Now we're going to go to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 17 and continue from there, all right? So here we go. Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle and were gathered together at Shechah, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Shechah and Azekah in Ephes-Damim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on the mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam. And his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am I not a Philistine, and ye service to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then we'll be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now David was the son of the Ephraimite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse, and he had 8 sons. And a man went among them, went among men for an old man in the days of Saul. And the 3 eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle. And the names of his 3 sons that went to the battle were Eliab, the firstborn, and next to him, Abinadab, and the 3rd, Shema. And David was the youngest, and the 3 eldest followed Saul. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. And Jesse said unto David his son, take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren. And carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their 1,000, and look how they brethren fare, and take their pledge. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah, fighting with the Philistines. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper, and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight, and shouted for the battle, for Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage, and ran into the army, and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up to the champion the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spoke according to the same words. And David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him, and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, have ye seen this man that has come up, sure to defy Israel? Is he come up? And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spoke unto the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine, and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine, that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab the eldest brother heard when he spoke unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, why camest thou down hither, and with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and that haughtiness of thy heart, for thou art come down that mightest see the battle. And David said, What have I now done? Is there not a cause? And he turned from him toward another and spoke after the same matter. And the people answered him again the former matter. And when the words heard which David spoke, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he is a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, thy servant keep his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him, I smote him, and I delivered it out of his mouth. And he arose against me, and I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said moreover, the Lord hath delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear. He will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. As Saul said unto David, go and the Lord be with thee. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put an helmet of brass upon his head, and also armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said to Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off, and he took his staff in his hand, and chose some 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip, and a sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near to David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, and ruddy, and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee. And I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with the sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took a thence of stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. And the men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines until thou come to the valley and to the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way to Shearim, even unto Gath and unto Ekron. And the children of Israel returned from chasing after the Philistines, and they spoiled their tents. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his armor in his tent. And when Saul saw David go forth against the Philistine, he said unto Abner, the captain of the host, Abner, whose son is this youth? And Abner said, as my soul liveth, O king, I cannot tell. And the king said, inquire thou whose son the stripling is. And as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said to him, whose son art thou, thou young man? And David answered, I am the son of thy servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite. There you have it, y'all. That's the book of 1 Samuel chapter 17. That is so awesome. I love how that is displayed. Everybody loves the story of David, don't it? I mean, who doesn't love that story, right? I love the details about it, though. I love the details of it too. I love how David brought up how he killed a lion and a bear. I could get rid of this Philistine. You know, that confidence, that trust in the Lord, that power, that's the power of God. We're supposed to walk in with that confidence. You know what I'm saying? I love that. I love how he said that the battle is the Lord's. And the Lord doesn't go by sword and by spirit, but, you know, I came in the name of the Lord. I just love how he said that, you know. And that's how we have to approach our life. We have to approach our life like the battle is the Lord's. And everything we approach, we come in the name of the Lord. All right. It's not always self-willed. It's not always objects or things we need. All we need is the Lord. That's all David needed. And Saul was trying to give him all these extra fancy stuff, try to give him a helmet and a brass and the armor bearer, all these different tools and a sword and all of that. And David's like, I don't need that. Let me just get my few stones. I'll get rid of this dude. And I think that's just so cool and so funny. You know what I mean? But it just shows how God could make so much big things happen out of little things, you know what I'm saying? And I was proven just through that scenario all in itself, you know? So I think that's always amazing to have that King David mindset when it comes to war and our obstacles or what faces us, you know? That confidence, that trust in the Lord, working with what we have, that's what matters, you know? Because God gets all the glory out of it, you know what I mean? So that's what's about at the end of the day. You know, David glorified God through defeating Goliath. David didn't glorify himself. He glorified God through that. Remember, David was a man after God's own heart. So that's just very beautiful to see. And we know David had his ways when, you know, we'll get to that more in the Bible series. But just at this part, you know, this is a very beautiful part. So there you have it. That's the book of 1 Samuel chapter 17. Now we're going to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 18. All right. The book of 1 Samuel chapter 18. Here we go. And it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking to Saul that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would let him go no more home to his father's house. And then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David, and his garments, even to his sword and to his bow, his bow and to his girdle. And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him, and behaved himself wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. And it came to pass, as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul, with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played, and said, Saul hath slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. And Saul was very wroth, very angry, and the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed it to David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day and forward. Fool, man. And it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul. And he prophesied in the midst of the house, and David played with his hand as at other times, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand. And Saul cast a javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice. And Saul was afraid of David, because the Lord was with him, and was departed from Saul. Therefore Saul removed him from him, and made him his captain over 1,000. And he went out and came in before the people. And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Wherefore, when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him. But all Israel and Judah loved David, because he went out and came in before them. And Saul said to David, behold, my elder daughter, Merab, her I will give thee to wife. Only be thou valiant for me, and fight the Lord's battles. For Saul said, let not my hand be upon him, but let the hand of the Philistines be upon him. And David said to Saul, who am I, and what is my life, or my father's family in Israel, that I should be son-in-law to the king? But it came to pass at that time, when Merab, Saul's daughter, should have been given to David, that she was given to Adriel, the Mahalathite, to wife. And Mishal, Saul's daughter, loved David, and they told Saul, and the thing pleased him. And Saul said, I will give him her, that she may be a snare to him, and that the hand of Philistine may be against him. Wherefore Saul said to David, thou shalt this day be my son-in-law, and the one of the twain. And Saul commanded his servants, saying, commune with David secretly, and say, behold, the king hath delight in thee, and all his servants love thee. Now therefore be the king's son-in-law. And Saul's servants spoke those words in the ears of David. And David said, seemeth it to you a light thing to be a king's son-in-law, seeing that I am a poor man and lightly esteemed? And the servants of Saul told him, saying, on this matter spoke David. And Saul said, thus shall ye say to David, the king desireth not any dowry, but 100 foreskins of the Philistines to be avenged of the king's enemy. king's enemies. But Saul thought to make David fall by the hand of Philistines. And when his servants told David these words, it pleased David well to be the king's son-in-law, and the king's and the days were not expired. Wherefore David arose and went, he and his men, and slew of the Philistines 200 men. And David brought their foreskins, and they gave them in full tale to the king, that he might be the king's son-in-law. And Saul gave him Michal, his daughter, to wife. And Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David, and that Michal, Saul's daughter, loved him. And Saul was yet the more afraid of David. And Saul became David's enemy continually. Then the princes of the Philistines went forth, and it came to pass, after they went forth, that David behaved himself more wisely than all the servants of Saul, so that his name was much set by. All right, so that's the book of 1 Samuel chapter 18 reading. So this is where you see Saul starting to really be jealous of David and really have it out against him. And Saul was really just had an eye on him, you know, because when the women came singing and dancing, the women said, you know, Saul slayed 1,000 men. David slayed 10,000 men, you know. So really, like, the women kind of add insult to injury as far as a man's pride and ego. Saul was a very prideful, ego man. So his jealousy got in his own way. And he just took it out on David. And David never did Saul no harm. David always played the harp for him. David was kind of like helping him out and everything. And Saul still has something against him, you know. And the women singing and dancing kind of really fueled that fire. You know, a man's jealousy will always be exposed one way or another. So the funny part is David only just killed one at that time. He just killed Goliath. That was it. But that was the equivalent of thousands of men, you know, like 10,000 men. You know, when you take out the champion, the king, the world, like the biggest warrior out of that nation, that is equivalent to many people. So Saul really felt a certain way about that, and he got real sour and tight about it. So he just really started tripping on David since then. And as when the word says, he became an enemy towards David, but David dealt wisely with it. You know, David was aware of it, and, you know, he had to duck and dodge him. You know, Saul even had a javelin and wanted to pierce him with it. That's how crazy jealousy is. That's how jealousy and, you know, envy, that's how serious those emotions and spirits are. Those are very diabolical spirits, so it's very hard to deal with those things. I'm pretty sure you all have dealt with a jealous person before, or you've dealt with someone who just had it out against you. It could be a friend, a coworker, a family member, a business partner. It could be anybody. Jealousy, it doesn't discriminate. Jealousy could be anybody. Hell, there's some people have jealous spouses. Some people have a jealous spouse, a jealous ex, a jealous friend. Jealousy is everywhere, man. So it's very crazy to deal with that type of energy. Trust, like, it's very crazy to deal with that jealousy spirit, man. You know, that's how we got to be wise about certain people, how we go about things, how we express ourselves, or how we obtain or succeed in things. You got to be, like, always mindful of those things. You know what I mean? So sometimes people be jealous of you, and you don't even have much to even have in the first place. In this part, in 1 Samuel chapter 18, the scripture says that David was poor. David was a poor man and low esteemed. Even just besides the killing Goliath part, his status was still low. You see what I'm saying? And Saul was still jealous of him. So that shows you that a person can have more in life than you and still be jealous of you. Because remember, the scripture says that all Israel loved David. All Israel, all Judah loved David. They embraced him. And David was for the people. David was for Israel. He was for Judah. He was for everybody. So when you loved on a mass level, that brings more jealousy. You see what I'm saying? Because Saul didn't get that love. Saul wasn't, he didn't have good favor like that. You got to remember, when Saul became king, people didn't even bring any presents to him. They didn't even bring him no gifts. So Saul is really coming from this, like, bitter place. Saul comes from a place of knowing what it's like to have it all and still not satisfied with his own self. You know what I mean? So it's just crazy how things could play out, you know what I mean? And then how we could actually, it's crazy how our life and our situations can actually relate to the word in these stories, you know? It's just crazy, you know? But that's just very funny to me, all right? So that was the book of 1 Samuel chapter 18. Now we're going to go to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 19, all right? Book of 1 Samuel chapter 19, here we go. Also, P.S. in the keynote, it also said in chapter 18 how Saul was even afraid of David. And how he saw how the Lord was with David. He was afraid of him. you know, he got intimidated by him, you know what I mean? So just crazy situations overall. So now we go to 1 Samuel chapter 19. And Saul spoke to Jonathan, his son, and to all his servants that they should kill David. But Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted much in David. And Jonathan told David, saying, Saul, my father, seeketh to kill thee. Now, therefore, I pray thee, take heed to thyself until the morning, and abide in a secret place and hide thyself. And I will go out and stand beside my father in the field where thou art, and I will commune with my father of thee, and what I see, that I will tell thee. And Jonathan spoke good of David unto Saul's father, and said unto him, Let not the king sin against his servant, against David, because he hath not sinned against thee, and because his works have been to thee, very good. For he did put his life in his hand, and slew the Philistine, and the Lord wrought a great salvation for all Israel. Thou sawest it, and didst rejoice. Wherefore then wilt thou sin against innocent blood to slay David without a cause? And Saul hearkened unto the voice of Jonathan, and Saul swore, And as the Lord liveth, he shall not be slain. And Jonathan called David, and Jonathan shewed him all those things. And Jonathan brought David to Saul, and said, And he was in his presence as in times past. And there was war again. And David went out and fought with the Philistines, and slew them with a great slaughter, and they fled from him. And the evil spirit from the Lord was upon Saul, as he sat in his house with his javelin in his hand, and David played with his hand. And Saul sought to smite David even to the wall with the javelin, but he slipped away out of Saul's presence, and he smote the javelin into the wall, and David fled and escaped that night. Saul also sent messengers into David's house to watch him and to slay him in the morning. And Michal, David's wife, told him, saying, If thou save not thy life tonight, tomorrow thou shalt be slain. So Michal let David down through a window, and he went and fled and escaped. And Michal took an image and laid it in the bed, and put a pillow of goat's hair for his bolster, and covered it with a cloth. And when Saul sent messages to take David, she said, He is sick. And Saul sent the messengers again to see David, saying, Bring him up to me in the bed, that I may slay him. And when the messengers were come in, behold, there was an image in the bed with a pillow of goat's hair for his bolster. And Saul said to Michal, Why hast thou deceived me so, and sent away my enemy, that he escaped? And Michal answered Saul, He said to me, Let me go, why should I kill thee? So David fled and escaped, and came to Samuel to Ramah, and told him all that Saul had done to him. And Samuel went and dwelt in the Naioth, and it was told Saul, saying, Behold, David is at Naioth in Ramah. And Saul sent messengers to take David, and when they saw the company of the prophets prophesying, and Samuel standing as appointed over them, the Spirit of God was upon the messengers of Saul, and they also prophesied. And when it was told Saul, he sent other messengers, and they prophesied likewise. And Saul sent messengers again the third time, and they prophesied also. Then went he also to Ramah, and came to a great well that is in Shishu, and he asked and said, Where are Samuel and David? And one said, Behold, they be at Naioth and Ramah. And he went thither to Naioth and Ramah, as the Spirit of God was upon him also. And he went on and prophesied until he came to Naioth and Ramah. And he stripped off his clothes also and prophesied before Samuel in like manner, and lay down naked all that day and night. Wherefore they say, Is Saul also among the prophets? So that's the book of 1 Samuel chapter 19 reading. So this gets more crazy and more bizarre situation. So Saul is really like wanting to get rid of David. And he's telling his own son this. And Jonathan and David are like best friends. They loved each other. And Jonathan looked out for David and was telling him like, Yo, my pop's trying to get rid of you, bro. So you got to flee. You got to flee. You got to get out of here. So Saul even tried to throw a javelin at David through the wall, and David had to run out the house and hide in a secret place. And then when David went to his wife even had to try to save David. So his wife told David, like, Hey, my father's coming after you. You got to get out of here. So she let David escape through a window. And then what David's wife did was so funny. She basically put like an image and some goat hair in the bed, and he made it seem like somebody was laying down. So when Saul sent his messengers to go kill David at his own wife's house, David wasn't there, and his wife stood up for him and looked out for his behalf. So it just showed you how David had a good best friend in Jonathan, and he also had a good wife who had his back and his best interest. And then, you know, and even the crazy part is, you know, he told Jonathan's telling Saul, his own father, like, hey, this man just did a great thing for Israel. Why would you shed innocent blood? You know what I mean? And then Saul was like, yeah, I hear you. And then Saul still went after him anyway. So it just shows you what hate and jealousy and malice can do, man, and how it could destroy a lot of things. So much things get destroyed due to jealousy, ego, pride, insecurity, inferiority, you know, like all those weird negative emotions, you know what I mean? Like, I think that's just weird when people carry those type of spirits, but that's just how it is, man, you know what I mean? So, yeah, man, when people walk around that energy, they try to take it out on the wrong people, and that just becomes more messy. So David is bouncing around, fleeing. So David ran into Samuel, and David, Samuel, and the others, they're all like, you know, in the congregation, they're holy, keeping it holy, praising and prophesying, things of that nature. So, yeah, man, you know, David really lived on the edge, man, from the jump. So very funny. That was chapter 19, reading of 1 Samuel. Now we're going to go into the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 20. All right, we're going to go into chapter 20. All right. So here we go. And David fled from Naioth and Ramah and came and said before Jonathan, what have I done? What is my iniquity? And what is my sin before thy father, that he seeketh my life? And he said unto him, God forbid thou shalt not die. Behold, my father will do nothing, either great or small, but that he will show it me. And why should my father hide this thing from me? It is not so. And David swore moreover and said, thy father certainly knoweth that I have found grace in thy eyes. And he said, let not Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved, but truly as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, there is but a step between me and death. Then Jonathan said to David, whatsoever thy soul desireth, I will even do it from thee. And David said unto Jonathan, behold, tomorrow is the new moon, and I should not fail to sit with the king at meal. But let me go, that I may hide myself in the field until the third day at evening. If thy father at all miss me, then say, David earnestly asked leave of me, that he might run to Bethlehem, his city, for there is a yearly sacrifice there for all the family. If he say thus, it is well, thy servant shall have peace. But if he be very angry, very wroth, then be sure that evil is determined by him. Therefore thou shalt deal kindly with thy servant, for thou hast brought thy servant into the covenant of the Lord with thee. Notwithstanding, if there be an iniquity, slay me thyself, for why shouldest thou bring me to thy father? And Jonathan said, far be it from thee, for if I knew certainly that evil were determined by my father to come upon thee, then would not I tell it thee? Then David said to Jonathan, who shall tell me, or what if thy father answer thee roughly? And Jonathan said to David, come and let us go out into the field. And they went out both of them into the field. And Jonathan said to David, O Lord God of Israel, when I have sounded my father about tomorrow any time, or the third day, and behold, if there be good toward David and I, then send not unto thee and show it thee. The Lord do so and much more to Jonathan. But if it please my father to do thee evil, then I will show in thee and send thee away, that thou mayest go in peace, and the Lord will be with thee. And the Lord be with thee, as he hath been with my father, and thou shalt not only while yet I live show me the kindness of the Lord, that I die not, but also thou shalt not cut off thy kindness from my house forever. Know not when the Lord hath cut off the enemies of David, every one from the face of the earth. So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, let the Lord even acquire it at the hand of David's enemies. And Jonathan caused David to swear again, because he loved him, for he loved him as he loved his own soul. Then Jonathan said to David, tomorrow is the new moon, and thou shalt be missed, because thy seat will be empty. And when thou hast stayed 3 days, then shalt thou go down quickly and come to the place where thou did hide thyself with when the business was in hand and shall remain by the stone Izel, and I will shoot 3 arrows in the side thereof, as though I shot at a mark. And behold, I will send a lad, saying, go find out the arrows. If I expressly say unto the land, behold, the arrows are on to thee, and no hurt as the Lord liveth. But if I say this unto the young man, behold, the arrows are beyond thee. Go thy way, for the Lord hath sent thee away. And as touching the matter which thou and I have spoken of, behold, the Lord be between thee and me forever. So David hid himself in the field, and when the new moon was come, the king sat him down to eat meat. And the king sat upon his seat, as at other times, even upon a seat by the wall. And Jonathan arose, and Abner sat by Saul's side, and David's place was empty. Nevertheless, Saul spoke not anything that day, for he thought something hath befallen him. He is not clean. Surely he is not clean. And it came to pass on the morrow, which was the second day of the month, that David's place was empty. And Saul said to Jonathan, his son, wherefore cometh not the son of Jesse to meet, neither yesterday nor today? And Jonathan answered Saul, David earnestly asked leave of me to go to Bethlehem. And he said, let me go, I pray thee, for our family hath a sacrifice in the city, and my brother, he hath commanded me to be there. And now if I have found favor in thine eyes, let me get away, I pray thee, and see my brethren. Therefore he cometh not to the king's table. Then Saul's anger was kindled against Jonathan, and he said unto him, thou son of the perverse, rebellious woman, do not I know that thou hast chosen the son of Jesse to thine own confusion and to the confusion of thy mother's nakedness? For as long as the son of Jesse liveth upon the ground, thou shalt not be established, nor thy kingdom. Wherefore now send and fetch him unto me, for he shall surely die. And Jonathan answered Saul's father and said unto him, wherefore shall he be slain? What hath he done? And Saul cast a javelin at him to smite him, whereby Jonathan knew that it was determined of his father to slay David. So Jonathan arose from the table in fierce anger and did eat no meat the second day of the month, for he was grieved for David because his father had done him shame. And it came to pass in the morning that Jonathan went out into the field at the time appointed with David and a little lad with him. And he said unto his lad, run, find out now the arrows which I shoot. And as the lad ran, he shot an arrow beyond him. And when the lad was come to the place of the arrow which Jonathan had shot, Jonathan cried after the lad, and they said, is not the arrow beyond thee? And Jonathan cried after the lad, make speed, haste, stay not. And Jonathan's lad gathered up the arrows and came to his master. But the lad knew not anything, only Jonathan and David knew the matter. And Jonathan gave his artillery unto his lad and said unto him, go and carry them to the city. And as soon as the lad was gone, David arose out of a place toward the south and fell on his face to the ground and bowed himself 3 times. And they kissed one another and wept one with another until David exceeded. And Jonathan said to David, go in peace, for as much as we have sworn both of us in the name of the Lord, saying, the Lord be between me and thee, and be between my seed and thy seed forever. And he rose and departed, and Jonathan went into the city. So that's the book of 1 Samuel chapter 20 reading. All right, now it's discussing the bond between Jonathan and David and how Jonathan's father Saul was really tripping, and it caused some, you know, tension and drama, things of that nature. So Jonathan and David let nothing get in between their bond and let nothing get in the way of their covenant. All right, so they really valued that friendship very well. All right. So that's the reading, and that's the message for today, all right? What I would love to do as I close out is give all the glory to God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and praise the only begotten Son who died for our sins. All right, just all glory and praise to him forevermore. Just thank him, man. He's really too amazing. You know, we got to really close one out really fast and early. So what I'm going to actually do is just end this with the priestly blessing, all right? And overall, I just pray to God that whoever listens to this message, I pray that you repent and get baptized. I pray that you start your life over for the Most High. I pray that you have new beginnings. And I pray that the Most High does miraculous things for you, gives you signs and wonders. And I just hope that he keeps changing your life and doing better for you. Amen. So here we go with the priestly blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his counsels upon you and give you peace. All right, y'all. So there you have it. Shalom. I'm Jarvis Kingston. I got much love for y'all. God bless y'all. Peace. on. He is the Adam, the second Adam, last Adam, the hope for humanity. Yes, yes, he is. He is the advocate, the almighty, the true living God, the Alpha and Omega. Amen. Amen. The apostle of our profession, the armor of the Lord, the atoning sacrifice for our sins, the author and finisher of our faith, the author and perfecter of our faith, the author of life, the author of salvation, the beginning and the end, the beginning of creation of God, the beloved Son, the blessed and only potent, the blessed and only ruler, the branch, the bread of God, the bread of life, the bridegroom, the capstone, the captain of salvation, the chief cornerstone, the chief shepherd, Christ, the Christ of God, the consolation of Israel, the cornerstone, the counselor, wonderful counselor, the creator, the dayspring, the deliverer, the desire of the nations, adore the elect of God, Emmanuel, the eternal life, the everlasting Father, the faith and true witness, faithful and true, the faithful witness, the first and the last, the first begotten, firstborn from the dead, firstborn of all creation, the forerunner, the gate, the glory of the Lord, God, the good shepherd, the great high priest, the great shepherd, head of the church, the heir of all things, the high priest, holy and true, the holy one, the hope of glory, the horn of salvation, the I am, the image of God, Jehovah, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Shalom, Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus, the judge of Israel, the judge, king eternal, the king of Israel, king of kings. Yes, he's the king of kings, Lord of lords, king of saints, King of the ages, King of the Jews, the King, the Lamb of God, the Lamb without blemish, the last Adam, the lawgiver, the leader and commander, the life of the world, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the living one, the living stone, the Lord our righteousness, the Lord, Yah, Yahweh, Yahuwah, Yahweh Shai, Yahweh, Ben Yahweh, Hayashai, Yeshua, HaMashiach, Barakathah, Shalom, Shalom, the Father of life, the Father of the fatherless, the consuming fire, the sustainer, the sufficient one, the Lord of all, the Lord of glory, the Lord of lords, the man from heaven, the man of sorrows, the mediator of the new covenant, the mediator and message of the covenant, the Messiah, the mighty God, the mighty one, the morning star, the Nazarene, the offspring of David, the only begotten Son of God, our great God and Savior, our holiness, our spiritual husband, our Passover, our protection, our redemption, our righteousness, our sacrifice, Passover lamb, the power of God, the precious cornerstone, the Prince of Kings, the Prince of Life, the Prince of Peace, the Prophet, the Redeemer, the Resurrection and Life, the Resurrector, the Revelant One, the Revelator, the Revelation, the Radiant One, the Righteous Branch, the Righteous One, the Perfect Example, the Rock, the Root of David, the Rose of Sharon, the Rule of God's Creation, the Ruler of the Kings of the Earth, the Savior, the Seed of Woman, the Shepherd and Bishop of Souls, the Shiloh, the Shiloh, the Son of David, the Son of God, the Savior, the Seed of Woman, the Son of Man, the Son of Abraham, the Son of the Blessed, of the Most High God, the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, the Son of Righteousness, the Just One, the One Mediator, the Stone the Builders rejected, the True Bread, the True God, the True Light, the True Vine. Yes, he is the truth, he is the way, he is the way, truth, and life, the Wisdom of God, the Witness, the Wonderful Counselor, the Word of God, the Word of Yah, the Word of Yahuwah, the Word of Life, the Word of Elohim. Shalom.